Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Jew for Self. As always, I like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We come to you by the help of our brother, Amin Yasir Muhammad, brother that brings to you Sister Claire Muhammad's STEM School. You know, the message through these podcasts, through radio programs, if we can find ourselves as a body working together with Allah's guidance to all of us, get away from the emotionalism and things. That don't mean don't cry, don't laugh. I don't mean it like that. Make sure that if you believe in God, that you're balanced to the point that you don't move to hate. You don't move to destruction. Something got to be done, but you don't move to that. When we look at the world today, somebody could argue that the people who say they believe in God the most are the furthest off track. We know we're not, but we got to talk to people. There should be noise going about with all these wars and all this. I mean, in other words, the world is just too good. Allah, God. No, not no man, not Jesus, anyone like that. And this is not the sound of Christians. As I like to say, to bring some sense to the picture, anything that got a birthday, a real birthday, and a real death day, you know, like my father was born, 19, him and my mother, between 15 and 14, and they both died at two different times. Death is for humans. Death is for animals, insects, fish, birds, many other things we can't even see. But never for God. You can't kill him. You can't give him a birthday. But as complimentary, if I could use that term, as we find the earth yielding to us, to human beings of all time, we should check ourselves. That what the group called Hamas, what they did, and I'm not judging them. I was in the Vietnam War. And I had to tell people when I came back, and I was blessed by God. I mean, I was blessed. No question about it. Many, many were. Many met their death there or were crippled there. But war is no joke. Vietnam War was about power in man. Russia, what he doing, power in man. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. The world should speak out to that. Yes, the little fellas should be helped, no question, because the big fellas picking on them. And as the president of the United States and those on his side and many that will think from the other side have stated, if Ukraine lose the war there, you think Putin is going to stop right there? No, he's blood, and power thirsty right now. What is he trying to rebuild? You got charge of the whole country. They jump when you tell them to jump. He want the world to jump. If it was in his will, he'd have been finished with Ukraine and went on around Europe, touching as much as he could, then stretch his hands over to Asia or toward the United States, trying to put us under the thumb. People, we have to think. But my real conversation is about what I see Christians, Jews and Muslims doing. People of faith. Allah tells us in the scriptures, go off as in a race to all that is good. He ain't talking to a warmonger. He's talking about people that believe in it. Too many churches got hate for Muslims. Too many Muslims got hate for churches. Too many Jews got hate for both of them. And they, talking about Muslims and Christians, when I say both of them, have too much hate for Jews. Then we got the other mixture, people who believe in God. but I hate you because you black. I can call you a name because you black. Don't you believe in God anywhere? When we think about it, this is our, and listen, I'm not asking questions. I'm posing the statement like questions. This is why Allah moved us into the station of practice of Islam. Don't follow them over the overseas in the way they see it. Do you know all the way to the prophet's death, prayers and peace be upon him? His companions, many of them, could never see Bilal as equal. He still was old black Bilal. Bilal a slave. Bilal was free as he could be. Wasn't even bothered by that. Matter of fact, he was the one that told the first, and he ended it, even though the prophet wanted him to stay and continue. He ended that when he saw that the prophet was getting sick, he planned to leave. He didn't leave before he died, if I remember the story correctly. But when he left, he the prophet even mentioned to him, will you still call the Adhan? No, once you out of here, in plain English, once you out of here, I'm out. In other words, your companions ain't going to accept me. He got up and made the call. And like I say, ever since I've heard about him and read the story that Imam Muhammad wrote about him, I said, that's the name I want. Man, that's the name. Oh, Allah, please, let me hear that name. And Allah blessed Imam Muhammad to give me the name. And never had talked to him. They just took a message. Sister Captain from Philadelphia, Temple number 12, took the information from my first wife to the Imam, and that's how I got the name. But what I saw in Bilal was not he was calling us to pray just the five prayers. He was calling us to proper worship. That's what we got to see in it. Proper worship, don't get me wrong. Five prayers is necessary. The extra prayers are necessary. I pray for all of us several times a day. When I say all of us, I'm talking about everybody living now. I pray that Allah allows us. Oh, you know, I don't know. Let us all live for a long time, and let us be successful establishing model communities so we can help people see this is what God wants. This is how he wants us to live. When you think about the brothers, our brothers and sisters, and we got to talk about this. If nobody else will talk about it, America, Muslims, not American people, American Muslims, who are people, yes. But I want to be clear, we're not trying to get our brothers from Judaism or our brothers from Christianity and sisters. We're not trying to get them to open their mouth. This is a house cleaning. You know, I live in one house, and the people come from next door, coming in trying to get in the door to sweep my steps, sweep my living room. I might be insulted. Mm-hmm. So we don't want that. I got to clean my own house. We have to clean our own house. We have to speak out to the people. Stop this hatred. The spread of hatred is so bad that messages, I don't care if it was just one, but it was more than one, are being blown up by what appears to be Muslims. And the first one was blown up during Juma, who was in there praying to Allah. And the people overseas have not yet, that I'm aware of, and I look at the news pretty regular, but maybe it got by me. I pray somebody would pull my coat if they saw it. The people over in the East have not yet condemned them for that. If it was non-Muslims, tell us that. If it was Muslims acting like hypocrites, tell us that. Don't let it just go on and people think they can go to the masjid and might be bombed. I remember years ago, one of the imams here in Philadelphia went on Hajj. And there was almost a takeover. They tried to take over the Kaaba. Yeah. And they got shot up.
Yes, they did.
They got messed up pretty bad. But that is news that has to be said so people know not to do that. Don't bring that ugliness into worship.
Right.
When we look at Iran and other places, talking about shooting, killing women, whipping them with so many lashes because they don't have a piece of clothing on. Not that they're naked. And even if they're naked, you ain't got nothing to do with that. They might be mentally disturbed. Allah says there's no, if Allah forbids compulsion from himself to be on us, what man has the right to demand somebody else to do something? Wake up, American Muslims. We have to be the model to show them how to live Islam, following them. And I know those of us that have ties still with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and ties still with Imam Muhammad, we ain't in that crowd. We ain't looking for somebody overseas to show us how to not follow God, how not to submit to Allah. You don't kill somebody because if they don't want to pray all day, you ain't got no right to kill them. There's no compulsion. That's between them and Allah. Maybe they got a mental problem. Maybe they're having a breakdown. The king or somebody going to demand kill them. We're going to make a model. Now we want to restrict the women. We want to put a rule up. As I said the other night, study how did that come about. I know from reading it, but I also know from our practices here in America on how we had to deal with that. A man used to rubbing up against a woman in a bar here in America. Just imagine. He goes in the bar and he's used to rubbing up against a woman. And tonight she decides when she's going, I ain't going in the bars no more and I don't want nobody touching me unless it's my husband. And the next day the man see her on the street and he figured he could still rub up against her. He need a lesson. And the brothers that were around Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, taught those brothers lessons. But they also told the women, change your head guard, because the man did say, I thought she was the same as she was yesterday because she's still wearing the same clothes. Still looking like, she wanted to be done, if I could use that. Happened with us here in America with the Nation of Islam. There were people who thought they could just pat the sisters. And I'm telling you from experience, we shut that down. And after a while, here in America, just about every city that had Muslims in it, a drunk could be walking down the street, falling all over the place and see a Muslim sister coming up the street and straighten up and talk with a drunk tone. The sister don't even know what he's talking about. But the rule was laid down in such a way for respect by Allah's permission that the man felt bad walking down the street with a Muslim sister in the condition that he was in. You ain't got to kill him. All you got to do is remind him, hey, this ain't yours to touch. Matter of fact, I remember when I was away. Remember I told you I was in prison for a little bit of time. And they were bringing us back on a bus from court. And I was sitting in the seat on the left-hand side behind a couple seats behind the driver, but by the window. And two people were sitting behind me. And you know, everybody's handcuffed. And one of them said something to the women that were parked in the prison yard. And some of them were saying something to the women visitors, howling out the window. And I leaned around, leaned back a little bit, and I said to the brothers, hey, excuse me, brothers, if you don't mind, if you see a Muslim coming in visiting, Muslim woman coming in visiting her mate, don't call out the window and say those things to her. And the man could have easily said, oh, you're right, brother, I apologize. But he didn't say that. He said, what? And I told him it again. Then he had one of his friends behind him ask him, you all right? And he said, yeah, I was all right until Muhammad said something to me. Before he could finish the conversation, I was standing up in the chair kicking him in his face. Mm-hmm. Another brother was in the seat behind me. I don't even know how he got out of his handcuff. He was kicking him from the aisle in his face, and I was kicking him from the seat. So we was busting his head back and forward like you're playing ping pong. You know what I mean? Somehow he got out of his cuffs and broke back. Guards came on the bus. We was parked in the yard. He came on the bus and started pulling all of them off, everybody off. Left me the last and said, you know, you started this. You do something again, I'm going to do something. I said, you put your hands on me, I'm going to do something to you. You know what I mean? So they ain't touched me. They let me walk on in. And as I walked past, God said, this is the one. This is the troublemaker right here. They're pointing at me. But they didn't do nothing to me. But what that young man did, he went back and began to tell other inmates, man, watch what you say about those Muslims. I got beat up on the bus by two of them. He overemphasized it. He got beat pretty bad, but he overemphasized it. But he made sure everybody understood, don't say nothing to them sisters when they coming in this prison, because these brothers will beat you up. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying to us is this. We in America have to drop the handhold that they want to hold over us from over the East. The one and only hand that is over us is Allah. The life that we follow is Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. The guidance from Allah. That's what we work with. Our brothers and sisters, this don't mean that we don't care for them over there. We care. But we can't follow their direction if they won't follow the direction of Allah.
Exactly.
You telling us you understand even in Arabic, but you can't read that Allah says no compunction? You're going to kill us, or you're going to make a law if you don't wear this garb. That garb was not the garb that the prophet had the women wear. Again, people was patting them last night. He pat them tomorrow. The prophet said, change your clothes, because even some of them said, well, Muhammad, we didn't know. She looked just like she did last night when I patted her. So they realized she got to put something on her head.
Everybody got a second.
That's right. And as far as the piece that will go across the face, that was never an instruction. That's nowhere in the Quran. That came from Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. She made a statement. She saw two sisters on the back of camels. And not only did they cover the way the prophet said, but they even took the scarf and covered it across their face. And she made the comment, oh, you two, the two of you, you're going to get an extra space in heaven. Because you even cover your face. Nobody told her to say that. The prophet didn't tell her to say it. Allah didn't say it to her. But she felt in her heart that they took an extra step, and that extra step would no doubt get them more rewards. And it probably would. But that wasn't to tell the women to wear their scars across their face. That's a sickness that is over in the East. The women can't do anything. They don't want the women to do anything. Your phone ringing, James. They don't want you to do anything. The women. Do you know how many years it's been that they couldn't even drive? When I went to Hajj in 2000, I think it was one, the women wasn't allowed to drive.
They were driving when they had
when you went,
when I went in 13.
2013, they said when he went, they had just started driving. But they still got a problem driving today. They only could drive to certain places, certain distances. The people of the prophet, prayers and peace be upon them, not the prophet, they had a sickness with women. They would bury their daughters alive before coming into Islam. Alive. Not she died at birth. They'd bury her alive because she was a girl. So dumb. So dumb that they ain't recognized that their mother was a girl once upon a time. And if they want grandchildren, they got to have a girl, or their son got to marry somebody's girl.
My daughter, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's daughter, yeah.
Right.
Allah has blessed us to get the message from the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, to even say, every time Islam returns, as a mercy to the people, it will go to the most ignorant. At that time, the Arabs were the most ignorant. And more than just that, They worship God. They reported to have had 360 statues in the Kaaba, and all of those gods. Even before that, with Abraham, when Abraham broke them all up, and when they questioned Abraham, Abraham told them something that should make them think. Well, this one right here that's not broke up, the big one, ask him who did it. He your God. He surely could tell you. And it was just shocking them. But when we look at the way we live today, Allah is telling each individual, look in the Quran, find my words, find my message. Then look how my messenger to you my sign to you, I'll hear you utilize it. And what you want to find, Allah says in the Quran, he said, if you want to find your way to me, you have to go get what's in Muhammad. Read the ayah. Not his clothes. Not his turban. No, dress nice. Dress in your time, though. And as I said, when I went on Hajj, they were walking around dressing like Americans. Many of them had baseball hats on, mm-hmm. out there praying, following the way that they saw some of us wearing baseball caps. Stop being foolishly led by the body when the Quran will give you everything you need in your spirit and in your mind to find Muhammad the Prophet the way Allah wants you to find him. And let's breathe in a way to see that today Allah has given us Islam in America to also be the mercy to humanity, that they can look back and see how this ignorant black thing, as they call it, have grown in Islam in a way we can't let them shame us. That's how they see it. As I said, I used to counsel people over at the masjid in Glassboro, particularly the ones that came from what is that country that our brothers was from? It'll come to me.
Where?
No.
From where?
No, the brothers that was over at the masjid from overseas. much as I use their names and their titles from their country, it'll come to me. But no, it's another name, but it's closer to maybe being some of the. Palestinian. No, not Palestinian. More. I'll get to them. They'll come back. But my point is this. I counseled them. They'd asked me to come. Brother Iman, will you please? You come talk to me and my wife. We're having problems.
Oh, you're talking about the Egyptians.
No, not the Egyptians. It's another name. Yes. One of the stands, but, huh? So they'd asked me to come. This wasn't just one family. This was a number of families. Really, they don't do it two families together.
And the only one I'm thinking is Somali.
No, it's another one. I knew the name. We're hitting a little bit. Seemed like with Spain, Pakistan, okay. But it's another piece that's there. But either way, we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. My point is, as I counseled them, and when we finished, and I would take my wife of that time. She's deceased today. May Allah have mercy on her and have her in paradise. We would be there together to make the women comfortable with a woman in the room. And when we do this, every one of them, when they finished, they kind of like gave me as much praise as you can give to a man. I'd have to kind of push them off a little bit. We never heard nobody say things to us like that from the Quran. We never heard it that way from the Quran. And every time they said, I would say, well, thank Allah for Imam Muhammad. Thank Allah for Imam Muhammad because he's my teacher. He's the one gave us certain insights. I said, I got faith from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but he gave us certain insight. And they would, you know, all the way to the door. 3, 4, 5 times they may have asked us before, and the man more than the woman, but the woman asked them too. And I stopped asking after the first time, why? But they said they can't, they would be outcast from among their people if they found out that we let the blacks of America counsel us. Ain't that something how they think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, you got the best information I've ever heard, but I can't tell nobody. In a word, if it's possible, my brothers and sisters who have come through slavery, descendants of the slaves, and come to find ourselves and servants to Allah and brothers and sisters to all the Muslims around the world, we are not looked at as equal. Bilal was not looked at as easy. Don't take it to heart. I'm gonna be mad at them. No, don't fall into that weak space. Love everybody. I'm praying. When I pray that everybody live, I'm praying for everybody across the world. I don't know a piece, a toothpick weight of the amount of people on earth to say I know them. Because I don't. But I pray to Allah that he bless everybody to live for a long time and let us do that job that he's called us to do, to be the model, to remind them in the model, not with words, not with harsh word, harsh tongue, but just the model of how to serve God. And I'm saying this because of this. How do you just up and kill people that are innocent? And somebody could say, well, no, the Jew ain't innocent. He did this. Not all of them. The Christian, he ain't innocent because he did this. Not all of them. The Muslim, but not all of them. Yeah, just somebody bad. Probably somebody need to be thrown in prison from every one of our family, but not all, not the whole family. And who got a small family? Who got a family that really is just the husband, the wife, maybe two children, no grandchildren yet, and over them, each of their fathers and mother, and maybe one brother and sister to that husband and wife. We ain't got families like that. Most of our family, we got numbers behind them.
Number 8, 9, 10 in your family.
In your family.
In your immediate,
family. That's right. When you start talking about the whole family, so how do somebody just feel comfortable running in and just getting explode? And then, yes, Israel's fighting back. But you sending a bomb, you ain't killing the people that's there fighting you. You sending it back where some of their children are sleeping too, resting, don't even know what's going on. Didn't even have a crew. Somebody was going to attack you. So are they wrong? No, they're not wrong for fighting each other, fighting themselves, I mean, protecting themselves and fighting back. But it would have been nice if they'd have showed they had the courage and could find everyone that was there doing it and get rid of them. And then state, as religious people, we don't want to kill the innocent. Somebody got to wake up. That's not the way to do things. And we don't applaud Muslims for killing whoever it is. I don't care if it's Christian, Muslim, atheist, whoever. We don't applaud it. Find a place where Allah says applaud it. Find a place where Allah's telling us just go to war. If anything, he's telling us to war with Shaitan. Because that Shaitan makes me feel I'm better than you and I should get rid of you, or make you feel better than me and you should get rid of me. And Allah says he will deceive us. The world is too big. It got too many gifts. And it offers too many gifts for the future, Allah says. You think this paradise is something to get to the next one. No foul smells, no foul words, no, not bad anywhere. Just peace and happiness. Paradise. But you can get it here. Oh, you can't get paradise here. Yeah, Allah says in the Quran. When you get there, when you get to the paradise, you'll be saying, these are like something I had before. Meaning you had paradise before. Who said that to us? Imam Muhammad. Some of us may have been thinking it. Some of us may have seen it. But he made it clear to us. Our job, the thing that we have before us that we have to do, is be the model, work to be the model for all of the human beings on earth, not just for Muslims. But we should shake the Muslims first. They should look around and see, whoa, that Bilal over there in America doing that? And I don't mean me, Bilal. I mean us as a people. Bilal called to proper worship. Not just prayer. Proper worship is even how to live what you prayed for or what you should have prayed for. And if you ain't praying, why you should be praying for something. All this we have to know. Allah has given this as a design, as a with purpose, to cause humanity to find the best in themselves. And we, like I said, we have to believe that. We can't walk away from that. We have to believe it. We have to know that this is what God wants of us. He wants us to have success, all of humanity. There should be no hunger. There's some people throw away so much garbage, the man that picked up the garbage can need muscles. Garbage. I ain't talking about clothes and trash and stuff like that. Some people throw away clothes when people in the street might need them, and they look good. Our hearts got to go for God. God constantly replenish everything we need. He constantly do that. He makes the earth, the angel, the creation in general yield to us, man. And man just act like a spendthrift with it. We watch people go crazy not having when we throwing stuff away. They don't know you're throwing it away. But my point is we could do more. But we find a reason to hate each other. No, don't tell me, Christian, Muslim, Jew, whoever you are, you serving God and you got hate in your heart.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You walk around with hate in your heart, you in trouble. I don't like to be in the black neighborhood. I don't like to be in the white neighborhood. I told you one time I was with a brother, and he just out of the blue said, "Man, you know what I feel like doing?
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing a baby and just throwing him up in the air and let him smash to his death on the ground." I said, if you do something like that, brother, I will blow your brains out. You thinking about killing the baby? Then he started talking away from it like he was just joking. Yeah. Don't talk to me like that. I don't care what color the baby. I don't care if it's crippled, crazy, whatever the case is. You don't do that? Yeah. Matter of fact, I don't want you. I'm telling you, many times on South Street, I'm riding down South Street, and I see a drunk Caucasian, even though they were the devil in my book. I felt for them. You up here in the black neighborhood drunk? Yeah, and they ain't robbers, but if you get caught by the wrong person, you're in trouble. In other words, we have to have a feeling for what Allah wants us to have a feeling for. Some people love their dog more than they love a human being.
Yeah.
Or their cat, frogs, or whatever they got. They love them better. No, Allah don't want us to do that. Allah wants us to be human beings that are worthy of getting from him the reward of the next life. But while we wait to get it, he gives us so much in this life. So I'm asking the Muslims that are hearing particularly, but humans in general. If you're hearing it now, if you hear it another time, may Allah bless you to get out of it without praying that I'm giving, what I'm trying to say, let's unite, let's build.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build our character. Allah don't want weak character. Let's build our character to be stronger. The brothers from overseas, they like to have our brothers, when they teach a Juma, talk about sins. I ain't committing no sins. So I don't need nobody to come and tell me to talk about it. I don't need nobody to tell me to pray. I pray five times plus every day. Five times plus every day. And that's the majority of us. No, what we need to get, the Quran is a builder. It's like stairway. You know the old song in church, Stairways to Heaven. It's stairway to heaven. You're going up to heaven. That's what the Quran does. It's like building you up, working your way to heaven. You're walking on flat ground, but you're building up something in you in a way that you can't do nothing but go up. Heaven is your destination. All these things, you know, you hear it sung in the church. We hear it talked about in different religious groups. But all of us got to live that that's what we want. That's our final end that I want, to be where God want me to be in a good way. You got to be a hell of a person. I like to say that, to go to hell, because they give you too many ways to go to paradise. Brother James?
You want to get this?
All right, let's PSA.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Matt.
You're welcome.
I'd like to read from the 10th Surah of the Quran. As ayat 1, 2, 3, and 4. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alf Lam Ra. These are the ayat of the Book of Wisdom. Is it a matter of wonderment to men that we have sent our inspiration to a man from among themselves, that he should warn mankind of their danger and give the good news to the believers that they have before their Lord the lofty rank of truth? but save the unbelievers. This is indeed an evident sorcerer. Verily, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he established himself on the throne of authority, regulating, governing all things. No intercessor can plead with him, except after his leave hath been, this is Allah, your Lord. Him therefore serve ye. Will ye not then be of the warned? Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry, Do For Self, with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Zinc, and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Zinc is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, dial 267-385-0259. Again, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, dial 267-385-59.
Thanks, Brother James. This is Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry Do For Self. I'd just like to make a comment reference to what Imam was speaking about. He mentioned about that we definitely have to unite. And that's my pet peeve. Okay, uniting. We was in a situation, or we had a current event today, where we acknowledge that our sources as individuals, we're strong. We're real strong. And I've seen that we're so strong, that's why we're having a problem uniting. Because either we want our way, we got petty differences, plain old stubborn. Selfish. We have to look at that. We can be strong as individuals, but we can be weak as a community because we don't have the notion to unite, to put our petty differences aside. And all that strength we have individually will be protected. How to be protected? If we lead with what Allah says. Do it the way Allah works. We're not bowing down to each other. We bow down to Allah. Him alone. We learn how to work together. We was taught when you work together, many hands make a light things easier. Make the work easier. It's what we was taught. But we studied wrestling with each other. And our criteria that we are moving with from the individual status is strong. They're on top of their thing. They know what they're doing. And they're making leeway out in the so-called society here. But that's not doing us any good as a community. And if we can't unite, it will look for us to move as one, not as we want. That's our whole objective, is to move as one. We all came to especially in Islam, from different walks of life. That's what I mean by everybody took the notion to grow in the religion and strengthen their whole format so that when they walk outside, they can deal with it. But the challenge lies back in the house, in the community, because that's where we are needed the most. Our community right now is suffering because those who I call strong brothers and sisters want to build everything around their personal with Allah. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I see. Every time we would get together, sit down among each other, we argue, debate, like we're competing against each other. We don't need that. We need to pool our resources together, put our heads together, and we can solve a lot of the problems that's in our society, even in our community too, even in our families, because it's all part of one. Because this is our time. Because we recognize what we need to do, what we got to do. We want to build a model community. Can't build no model community if you're going to be fussing and fighting, carrying on, and then all that with each other. We want to do for self. We can't do for self. If we're going to be fussing and fighting again, we don't trust each other. We don't want to work with each other. We can't do for self that way. And we want to sit down and be able to talk. Iron out our differences. That's how we can unite. Uniting is sitting down talking. Like the Imam Muhammad said that we don't need nobody to teach us, to lead us. We lead with what Allah says and do things to show. That is the most simplest way we can do this, and it's most common. That's the best way. Nobody is in charge. We all are in charge. Who you in charge of, you in charge of yourself. You can control yourself. We control every atmosphere we might have, encounter, anything we might encounter. That's the whole importance of all that. Establishing in the oneness with Allah in front of us. And we won't have, no one have anything to say or argument against it, unless you have a problem with yourself. Again, this is our time. We ain't got to go out and show the society how intelligent, how much we're good black men, you know, we're good Negro. We ain't got to worry about that. He already see that. He see you before you even see yourself. If you walk out as a community, as a unit, that's greater than what he see individually. And then he has to say, look, we've got to get these people what they need, what they want, or we're going to have to get out the way. Because you see that force behind them? Individually, I can play them. How do I play them? I play them on their weakness. I run around in circles until he gets tired. That's been the strategy. But if we want to stand up and want the justice that we cry about, oh, no, let me change that word, we complain about, you know. Okay. If we want the justice, we have to show it. And we can only get justice if we move it as one. because they're going to take advantage of you individually and intimidate you or try to intimidate you. You know, you don't get justice. You get intimidation. You know, divide them. And then they're easy to control. Mm-hmm. How are you going to control them? We intimidate them. Well, how you going to intimidate them? Oh, we lied to them. Oh, we just run in there and put a sheet over us, and we scare them. They scared of ghosts, you know? But if they moving as one, we can't lie to them. Because come on, you're going to holler out, you're a liar. And if you come with the sheet, somebody going to grab that sheet, pull it off you. Hey, Mr. Johnny, I didn't know that was you. Yeah, that what we call exposure. And we was taught how to expose people. And everything we talking about, we've been taught. We've been taught. I don't know if it's a saying that we going through ups and downs. Life takes you through ups and downs. You know, you might have been up one day, now you're down the next day. Mm-hmm. These things happen. Allah has control of that. We don't have no control. One time I thought we was invisible. Mm-hmm. I was ready. This was 1980. I thought we was so vibrant, very vibrant, and we was ready. We was ready to, how we would say, take over the world, remake the world. I said, next thing you know, Joe Crack came on the scene. Mm-hmm. Crack came on the scene, and it just killed our community. Choked it. And it's almost like it was planned. It was so devastating. And it hit all the metropolitan areas first. And it affected the Muslims, the whole African American people, descendants of slaves. It affected them. So that's why I was saying life goes up and down. And that tells us that Allah gives us another chance to do it his way. That's the only thing I come to conclusion that give any clarity to me. Mm-hmm. He give us another chance to redeem ourselves. But he always reminded you that I taught you before. You should know. I shouldn't have to tell you what to do. You know, you just got to go do it. So you have to look at what stopped us from doing it the first time. Selfishness. We sat back there and we looked at, as the brother was talking about the Nation of Islam and all, how did the Nation of Islam took a downfall in that mentality? They let the drugs in the community. Mm-hmm. That's not enough. That's going to kill your community. That's going to tear down the main fight. And once you let it in, now you got to go full circle on it. Now it's on its way out. It's been on its way out. You know, but we got to push that other leg out to help build that our community back up. And that community is the spirit. It ain't a lot of people. It's the spirit. That spirit is right there. That's why the people sit up here. Oh, man, y'all represent the old spirit. Mm-hmm. When people see y'all, they feel comfortable. You know? Oh, man. Oh, you age gracefully. I said, yeah, that ain't that. That just was trying to stay on the path what we established years ago. I haven't changed. But we're coming with something better than we had before. Mm-hmm. The halal industry. The do for self. The bill. A model community. That is our objective. That is our destination. And that's what we come to do. That means when you come to the table, you come into the table with something on your plate. You're not coming in there looking for crumbs. You're not coming to be a menace. Come in there to help. Not forcing our ideology on us or nothing. We come in to help. And as long as we come in to help, you're not a threat to no one. Can't sit up here and say that. And we've never been a threat. Never try to force our ideology on it. But we did realize that somebody is controlling this atmosphere. What was that, D, man? The man passed in 08, right? It's almost, what, 15, 16 years of?
15?
Yeah. Yeah. And from that period, we've been digesting his language, you know, very, very well. I mean, it was, even though we were listening when he was there, you respect him more, and he's not there. That's how you garnish your family, if it's your father, your mother, whoever was one without teaching you, sharing you, sharing with you, helping you grow as a human being. You cherish them. And that's what we say, that they never die, because they stay, they're always going to be with you. That's what I meant by our ancestors, all the ones that stood up for everything. They always with, they always going to be with us. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones who protect us from what we don't see, mm-hmm. until we can see it. Those are the ones. And Allah put them in front of us for that. Mm-hmm. That's why I say that this more I talk about it and think about it, the more it inspires. Mm-hmm. You know? Because you bear witnessing that you understand. That's what Allah says in the Quran, for those who understand. I must be one, I think, one that understand a little bit, because I can recognize that statement. And once you understand it, you make it happen. You make something happen with what you understand. You can't be standing over out, want to be out front, chest out, want to be seen. Nah, if anything, you want to be heard. Mm-hmm. Just listen to me a minute. Mm-hmm. Let me share with you and show what you have. That's why we request the people to call in with your complaints, your suggestions, your ideas. Call them in. We'll entertain that because, again, we move off of current event things that Allah, and I took that as Allah sends it to you. And we deal with it. We put it in our portfolio and keep it going. Keep it moving. It's just like adding fuel to our fire. You know? That's what we want to do. That's what we're trying to do. Or that's what we're going to do. It's going to happen. Whether we want to do it or not, it's going to happen. Because, again, he's the one that's in charge. God, he sends out our leaders, examples for us, models for us to adhere to. With example for their people. They was the one out front. And to say that, we can say that they caught hell too, just like we've caught hell here. But it's not hell in a negative way, but it's a struggle. You struggle to get your point across and make sure it happens. And they've done very well because we can always speak about them. We can relate back to them, what they did, how they did it, and why they did it. So that's good enough for me, convince me. All I need to see, if I see a lost hand on it, I'm down. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. You know, and then all I do is use my little personality to help bring it about, because that's all we are. Our personality brings our understanding. A lot of people look at you, they sit back here, I can tell you all right. Why am I all right? I can tell how you do things. You know, get out of here. Yeah, I see how you treat the people. You know, not big-headed with the people. You listen to them. And you try to help them in the best way you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you don't get mad at them when they mess up. You might call them the little playful names or whatnot. But they appreciate that. You know. That's dealing with the people. And this is what the society don't care for the people. We living in a society that doesn't care for the people. Don't have the people's best interests at heart. Well, they want to use the people for their own personal gratification, got all their wealth out of them, and leave them near to dry. I remember I was listening to this guy on the radio, and he was talking about the people. And he was talking about, I guess the people was on crack or whatnot. And he was saying, I don't care nothing about them people. They dope fiends. I mean, they fiends. Well, really mean dope fiends. But he was saying they fiends. I don't care. And the other person wouldn't know. nor the human being, regardless what they want. And I reflect back to that because that's how society looked at the people. They pump all the drugs out in the community, and then they ridicule. I said, come on, man. Man, if you clean them up, I just got the 411 on this one. But, well, again, the man wants us to fairness among the people so we can establish this model community. I'm going to turn the mic over to James in our last couple minutes, let him close us out. Nate Muhammad, hello.
Thank you, Brother Nate. Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 425-292-4253. We'd like to thank everyone for dialing into to the program this evening. Inshallah, we ask you to tune in tomorrow at 6 p.m. 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.